Sean's incognito tonight, Wes. He's not showing any facial.
We can't see him rolling his eyes at us anymore. Yeah.
No, I'm having internet problems, so I've killed my video feed. So,
okay.
Yep. On top of that, I contracted pink eye over the weekend. So,
ooh, pink eye
from
my doctor's office. I went in for an eye exam, came out with pink eye. So,
wow.
Yeah, in both eyes.
Sue him. Sue him.
Just get him to pay for your medication.
No. Yeah. Yeah, the medication was expensive. That was the worst part of it. So, anyway.
Hey, welcome to my world right now.
Everything I know. I have no room to talk about medication. So, you're absolutely right. Well, let's go ahead and get started tonight. Welcome to the Killer Frogs, a podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 96. Originally, it was going to be for May 29th, but since Monday, when we normally record this, was Memorial Day. We are recording this on May 29th, so this will be released on May 30th. With us tonight, we've got Wes Phelan. How you doing, Wes?
I am doing great. Thanks for having me.
Recently finished his 6 weeks of radiation.
Yes, sir. Bob.
Got to ring the bell.
Yeah,
got to ring the bell. That was great. I had a long speech lined up, but I decided not to do it. They're already bored enough of me over there. So
well, you did a good job with it. I posted it on our Instagram and Twitter feed, so I'll also put it in the show notes so everybody can see it. But you did a really good job with the speech. Although we're gonna have to send you to Tech to get some bell ringing classes because
I hit that thing and it just went clunk. I said, "What? Come on, man! This is my big moment." You know, and then because you pull the little ringer forward, it just went clunk and. Finally, if you build it backwards just like that, it let a pretty good ring. But that was embarrassing. all this for that? You know, seriously? Come on. So. Anyway, hey, it's done. I'm over with it.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
We also have WC Nix on the call tonight. How you doing, Dubber?
Doing great. Doing great. Glad to be here.
Happy to have you.
Yeah, it's just this is the grind now. Baseball's over with, and
three more months.
Yeah. Was it 95 days left or
something? Yeah, I don't know. We got the countdown clock on the website.
That's right.
It's like 9:20 something hours. So it is a bit of a time. Hey, Dubber, you got any more Nutter Butters today?
No Nutter Butters. I got rid of them.
You know, I noticed when I spent the night at Dubber's place last week, he didn't have any for me.
Them suckers were gone that
Yeah,
night.
Yeah.
But I will say something. My buddy Wes brought me some chocolate, and my goodness.
No.
I was, I'm not a connoisseur like that. I'm the poor man, you know, Reese's, a Snicker bar, and all of a sudden Wes brings me that high cotton chocolate. Woo!
Did you like that?
It was good. It was real good.
That the company I used to work for is a 150-year-old family-owned company, and they made that as a commemorative chocolate for the 150th anniversary. So I got a bar of it. I mean, a big 500-gram bar, which is I had to break it up, and I'm having to make it last for a while because there's no more of it. It's gone. So once that, they're not going to put it out in the market for anybody to use. So once it's gone, it's gone. So savor it and. I might say you a little square of it, Dubber.
What makes it commemorative? What makes this chocolate better than any other?
Well, it's well crafted, it's well blended. Back in the old days, depending on where your factory was, there was basically an East Coast chocolate and a West Coast chocolate. Okay.
So we're gonna have rap battles now.
Well, yeah, but the East Coast chocolate would bring in beans from some South American countries and some African countries. The West Coast chocolate bring in a little bit of the South American bean, and then mostly from Papua New Guinea and some areas like that. So this is using beans from Papua New Guinea, and I believe a bean from Madagascar. But it's well balanced. It's absolutely delicious. And if you know anything about chocolate, you see the number like 64 or 75% in front of those. basically what that means is that's the amount of cocoa solids in a chocolate. And so if it's a 64%, this means there's 36% sugar in there. So the higher the number, the sweet, the more bitter the chocolate, lower the number, the sweeter. So this was 62, but it didn't taste very strong, did it ever? I mean, it had a real nice, smooth, easy taste. You'd never know you're eating that much.
Yeah.
I'm really getting off on a tangent here on chocolate because I know that's nobody might want to talk about, but hey, you might as well get your chocolate 101 from me. So so you know, he made kind of what's referred to loosely as a West Coast chocolate using Papua beans from Papua New Guinea, and it was pretty good, really good. But I wish he'd make more of it. I told the guy that owns the company, I said, if your guys aren't selling this, let me know because something's wrong. They need to get out there and push this thing. But he assured me, so no, once it's gone, it's gone. This is it. Enjoy it because there won't be any more. So anyway.
Well, I'd love to try some of that bespoke chocolate sometime. So if you got any more next time I see you.
I might have a little bit left over. Maybe a
Sounds
little
good. And rounding out our panel tonight is the boss, Ryan Zeller. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing well, as good. Can be expected after this weekend. So,
yeah, are you out of mourning or are you still in a state of mourning?
I wanted to say that's the real reason we didn't do the podcast last night. We were all in a deep depression, but it's the way it goes. But yeah, I'm good. I'm super happy with the team. I think I saw today we had 4 freshmen make the what's it called? I should have this stuff planned out better.
Big 12 team.
Yes, exactly, and that's pretty impressive.
Which of our freshmen made that?
It was Oviedo. It was Adam Bulware. Those are my 2 favorites. Let me look it back up. But I'll while I'm looking it up, I'll tell you I was in Boston this weekend and got to see. We watched the last game of the basketball and then with the Cavs in Boston. And then I listened to the TCU game and then it was pretty fun being there actually and witnessing. Actually, we're on the losing side. We're in the bar with the losing team. So that doesn't happen all the time. But so it was interesting to see I would rather be in Boston with them losing than in Cleveland with them losing because those fans are nuts. I mean, we've seen it all on the news. So I feel a little safer being in Boston. So
yeah, I think in Boston they just drink their woes away.
Yeah, they were pretty good sports about it. They were sad, but they were nice. Super nice, actually. That's the second time I've been to Boston, but I hadn't been in a long time. And people there, it's so close to New York, you'd think they'd be all just not very friendly and just kind of into their own world, but they're just so friendly there.
It depends on where you are in Boston, but yeah, Boston's a great place. Yeah, but I mean, overall, I mean, it's the same thing. You say the same thing about Dallas, right?
Yeah,
but they talk funny up there.
They do talk really funny. I learned lots of new words and new ways to say words. So, but it was a good trip. And when I got to miss the 100-degree weather down here, so I was like,
You didn't miss it too much. You're back now, so
I know. I looked at the weather. I was like, Oh my god! I hope this doesn't mean it's going to be hot from starting now through basically October. Maybe we'll get done with the heat and we'll get a break by the time football season. But I don't think that's really going to happen.
No, hell, it's hell time. So it's
bad. It's going to be a bad summer.
Oh well.
Well, and this is kind of the long road here between sports now that baseball is gone. And let's talk a little bit about the Big 12 tournament. It looked like TCU could do no wrong. First doing a run rule on Tech, which first off, how awesome was that?
That was pretty awesome.
That was pretty great.
I mean, that was fantastic. And then beating West Virginia twice to get into the championship game against Baylor. Unfortunately, just couldn't beat those guys this year and ended up losing in 11. Although as Dubber was pointing out earlier, we did have a couple of chances to close out the game in the ninth, but just couldn't get it done. And Dubber, I think you said this earlier, it's just sometimes things just aren't meant to be.
Yeah. I mean, it just seemed like every time we had the opportunity to put the squash on it, we just couldn't do it. I mean, it was just silly stuff. I mean, you know, just – You know, and it wasn't nobody's fault, really. I mean, it's not like somebody loses it, in the sun and can't see it. I mean, they're not wanting to, you know, and stuff like that. And hey, they fought hard. They played hard. You know, they turned it around the second half of the season. It'd been nice to get to see them, you know, get in the tournament. But I guess that loss way back to Abilene Christian, I think that really hurt us.
Well, the final series of the season, losing three in a row to Texas.
They've been talking about the sweeps, the two sweeps, one to Baylor and one to Texas. I think that kind of – and then, you know, not getting to play – you know, they were talking about all that. Not getting to play the game in UCLA, you know, because it rained out.
Yeah.
Win or lose, that could have helped the RPI, even if we lost.
Yeah, even if we lost, win or lose, that helps us. But you know what? You know, every once in a while you have them years. I mean, you know.
That's true.
I mean, you know, it was a young team. You know, he was starting – you know, you lose your best pitcher and you lose your best player. You know, and so.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment. How many teams in college baseball could say that they were basically one out away from going to the postseason after losing their ace and their best player?
Yep.
Well, yeah, that's true. And I know Lucan said he's coming back next year. Has Jansen got another year coming to play, or is he done now?
I think Jansen's a senior, but I'm not sure.
Well, but I think he registered his first year, though, because there really wasn't room for him on the roster.
Well, then maybe he'll be back. That'd be kind of nice.
You know, it just seems like in that tournament we ran out of pitching. Unusual for us because we're normally pretty deep, and that's why he builds his teams is around for tournaments and runs in the NCAA where you have to have a lot of it. But it seemed like in the last couple of games we're just pretty much out of pitching. And I hated to see it, but, you know, it happens. You live and learn.
Hey, we'll be all right. That's going to be a good team. I mean, a couple of years down the road, they're going to be a good team.
Yeah, they are. They'll be fine.
I think they're going to be a great team next year, too. I mean, I don't think we have to wait 2 years for this team to grow up.
No.
And Jared Jancic is a junior.
Okay, well, good.
So.
Yeah, I saw something on Twitter. I need to go back and find it, but it was shocking to me because I was like, "Oh, good, we only have three players that are graduating." But then it listed out all the ones that could go in the draft, and I got sick to my stomach a little bit because it just was. I think it was seven total, so four that could go, and that's a little disheartening. But that's just the way baseball goes.
Yeah, but if there's saving grace with having a down year, maybe when we'll look at them as hard. Maybe that's just wishful thinking on my part, but.
Well, what's Lucan Baker going to do? What do y'all think he'll do?
Well, I think didn't he say he was coming back next year?
Well, I think it depends on where he gets drafted. I mean, if he gets drafted high enough, I think he's gone.
Well, but you know, his draft stock's got to be down a little bit from his.
Well, and I think that's. I mean, I'd love to see him get drafted high. I'd love for that for him because I think he's that type of player. You'd love to see him play in the show, but. At the same time, I agree with you. I think his draft stock is down, and I hate to say it's a saving grace for TCU, but I think that's the one thing that's probably going to keep him coming back next year.
Well, yeah. And you know what? You think he'll come back if to kind of segue over into Coach Slosh, you know, how many of these players will come back if they know Slosh is leaving, you know, if he does decide? I mean, that could help them make their decision. Although I do think that if he did leave, it would probably – the head coach would go to – Sarluis, right? I mean, wouldn't y'all think?
I would hope that would be the first call they make.
Yeah.
Because Sarluis is the one that's gotten a lot of that talent there. And he's unquestionably one of the best pitching coaches in the country.
Well, there's a reason why we got Lodolo. And that was.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Even speaking to Lodolo's family, that was the one thing that they were concerned about was whether or not he was going to stay on.
Yep.
And so for those fans who haven't been paying attention, that's a cat.
She apparently has an opinion about it too.
What happened here?
So let's go over this. Ryan, what was the news story earlier in this week? What was it, Mississippi State or Mississippi? I forget.
It was Mississippi State, and I had a couple people text me, and then I pulled it up and I read it, and it was based, it was from the Mississippi State side. So of course, everybody's going to want Coach Schlosh. They do every year. And so I didn't really put a lot of stock into it until there was another writer who's he's unbiased, and his article was a little disturbing for TCU fans, I would say. And then Mac Engle, wrote one, and it just basically
But that's Mac Engle.
Yeah, I know, but he made some really good points. It's not necessarily about money. I mean, he'll never make what a football coach will make, but it is compared to other baseball coaches in the nation, he's one of the highest paid. And so The other part, though, is that Mississippi State is known for getting tons of fans actually in the seats, and they are putting, I guess they're dropping $55 million into a whole new baseball facility. So, and the recruiting, it's got to be a lot easier. Schlosh has a name. Players are going to follow him, and players can afford to go to Mississippi State, unlike TCU. So I would think, I get all that if Coach Schlosh was 35, but his family, his son's graduating, going to college, I think TCU perhaps. And then his other child is going to be a senior, if I'm not mistaken. Imagine, maybe they'll stay the family will stay and he'll go to Mississippi State for a year and let his kid graduate. I don't know, but I wouldn't blame him for leaving, because every coach has goals. I know goals shift each decade of your life. And I would love for him to retire at TCU, and
sure,
we all would. But
if you remember when he came here, he said this was his dream job. So he got, you remember, he made a big deal of saying that when they opened Lupton Stadium and had that dedication to it, it was around Thanksgiving, I believe. And he came here on his own nickel, didn't say, "Hey, I'm just Jim Schlosser." He just walked around, attended the dedication, looked at everything, and then, kept saying, "This is where I want to be." So, he made it, and he's done a great job here. I hope that continues. I'd hate to see him leave. I think he's put baseball – obviously, he's put TCU back on the baseball map and made us relevant again. And I can understand the allure of maybe coaching in the best baseball conference in the country.
School where football doesn't outshine baseball, because it doesn't at Mississippi State. I think that that's the chosen sport there, and that would be kind of fun.
Is it though? I don't know. I mean, Mississippi State football fans are pretty rabid.
Yeah, they are,
It's not like Ole Miss, but for that state, there's really only two things most people in Mississippi care about:
football and religion.
Starkville, Mississippi, does not outshine even Waco. So, if you've ever been to Starkville, Mississippi, it's Starkville. It's a great name for it. It's pretty stark. Not that great a place.
Yeah.
It's a college town, but
It's a great school. There's no doubt about it. And they seem to be coming hard at Schlosh. So the question here though is that, do you guys think that is this a good possibility that we're going to be looking for a new baseball coach? B, do you think he's just using this as a negotiating ploy, learning a little bit of the, tips of the trade from Gary Patterson, or do you think that maybe there's a lot of smoke here, but no fire?
I hope B.
I don't think Schloss. I don't think he's the kind of guy who would do that game playing thing. I really don't. Maybe I'm underestimating. I think he'd be pretty upfront and honest about what he's doing. If a guy wants a better opportunity, who are we to say no? There's not a person among us here. With somebody came along and offered you a better job, you wouldn't take it. So,
But the question is a better job?
Well, that's the question.
I'll give them one thing. We average, we're in top, top 10 or 15 in the country in attendance ourselves.
Yeah, number one out of 12.
Ticket
sales, but that's what everybody goes by.
Exactly, that's true.
So it don't matter that, just like they say that Mississippi State. That's the big lure there, I would think. And I understand playing in the SEC, but, it's not like the Big 12's chopped liver in baseball either. They've done they've been just as strong as you know, all the conferences out there too.
Yeah,
I just think it'd be interesting. I think if what coaches have started to learn, and you know, it's like Coach Patterson. I mean, you've got a good thing right here. You're the king of your kingdom, and so is Slosh. Mm-hmm. Slosh kind of gets what he wants. I mean, I understand. I mean, but it's not like our baseball facilities are shabby.
I know.
I mean, they continue to upgrade them every year. They've upgraded locker rooms, and
But let's talk about that, because that was one of the key points in the news lately. I think Carlos did this in the Fort Star Telegram. Should we replace Lupton?
Yeah, but he's trying to compare it to Mississippi State, who is building a $55 million deal, and not everybody. I mean, they're the only one in the country doing that right this second. So to keep him, should we build a brand new baseball stadium? I say no. I don't think there's anywhere for it to go. Maybe you add on, you keep adding on, and you're doing some stuff. But I think that's kind of an unfair deal when you're trying to compare it to, you know, I mean, to somebody that's fixing to build a state of the art facility. I mean, it's not like that everywhere.
No.
Yeah.
But I can tell you for a fact that there are plans, or there were plans, because I sat in one of our donors' boxes and talked with Del Conte about it a couple of years ago. They wanted to recreate the entire entryway into Lupton Stadium and make it kind of a Hall of Fame, so you'd have more historical data and more of a Hall of Fame effect as you walk in into the new entryway. And there were some areas out there where they wanted to widen the concourse and some things they wanted to do. Also put kind of a deck area out in the left field area, kind of where it'd almost be equal to the top of the fence, or a level of the top of the fence. And that would be, you know, an enhancement out there. You could rent it out, and lots of things you could do. I think our facility's fine. I think for someone to say we need to build a new one is crazy.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that these reporters would go out and throw that out there. They'd be checking to see if there were any plans to do something, because I know there were.
Well, now let me go back to my point B, though. Could this possibly be, because these guys don't just come up with the stuff in a vacuum. We all know this.
Sure.
And it wasn't just Carlos who mentioned it. There's been mentioned, I think, in three separate stories just today alone, talking about possibly replacing Lupton if Schloss leaves, or even if Schloss stays, is that going to be a gem to kind of keep him here? I'm getting a feeling like maybe they're getting fed this information from somebody. And I'm thinking maybe this is just a negotiating ploy. I'm thinking this is, well, going back to my three different options, I'm thinking this is possibly something that Schloss is doing. And of course, we have a new AD. The last thing Donati wants to do is lose one of our star coaches in his first year as AD.
But my deal is we're upgrading their facilities all the time. Yeah. I mean, just like what Wes just said, it's not like we're sitting there. It's like, a couple of things. It's not like we have shabby facilities.
No,
it's not like it's not like we don't continue to add on. I mean, we've redone the baseball locker rooms. We've redone the area for the players. They put that out there, you know, down the in left field, the pitching and the batting cages. And I think, like Wes talked about, it's not like they're sitting there going, no, we're done. They're always talking about upgrading the facility. So in my mind, unless Schlossnagel just come out, and I've never heard him say, and I've never heard anybody say he's ever said, hey, I need a new baseball. Forget this one. I need a new baseball facility. I don't believe the stories. I'll just tell you. Mm. You say there's smoke, there's fire. I say somebody wants some sell papers, and so they start throwing something out there, and then other people start throwing it out there, and then they start feeding off each other. Yeah. That's just my personal opinion.
I tell you what, though, I really would. I had not heard the whole thing about the Hall of Fame as you enter. I will say, we don't have a beautiful entryway, and that's not that's not replacing the whole field. That would be so neat for them to do, and they could do it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what they did for basketball. It seems like baseball's next in line. They did football, basketball, and now it's baseball's turn, except that football may have jumped ahead of them just because of the East Side renovation. I don't know.
That kind of goes back. I'm thinking maybe this is just a ploy to kind of push things forward a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
Could I hope so. Move things up to the top of the list.
We do need some shade. I know we got lucky this season. There were not – I think there might have just been a handful of hot games. But they do – I don't know what they can do. Hire an architectural firm to come out there and put shade for all the fans. I mean, I go to most of the games anyway, but my mom, you know, people that are getting up there in age cannot go out there and sit. And my mom loves baseball, but I just would never, it's hard on us, you know. I can't imagine, you know, all of our parents going out there and sitting in 100-degree weather. So
the best thing they did was they took the temperature display out. I got tired of looking at how hot it was.
Yeah.
They were killing me when I looked out there and it'd say 103, and I'd go, really, I don't need to know that.
Yeah.
I already know how hot I am. You don't have to sit there and beat me down. And, you know, and because it's so hot, you know, you got the little wavy line, you know, and so, you know, I mean, I'm like, so this year I looked out there and it's gone, and I was like, yes, thank you.
Lie to us and say it's 93 degrees rather than 103. So that'd be
exactly.
Yeah. So.
You know what? When football puts out the color pattern blocking, whatever they call it for all the games, I mean, all I can think about is do not wear black until after November 1st. Yeah, I don't care what team we're playing. And I think through August and September and maybe partially October, we should all wear white with accents of purple. So purple is just as hot as black on some days.
Oh, God, yeah, no kidding.
I'm pretty sure whoever comes up with that scheme is either up in the press box or up in that nice section exactly. Where they can walk inside. They're not out there with the fans on that, especially on that east side.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
It'd be interesting to see what they said they could do at Lupton, because I know when they first built it, they put the supports in. You know, they added the two wings on either side of the field and increased the capacity up to whatever it was is now. But they put the supports in with the expansion in mind when they built Lupton. Now, I don't know if they did that. Add any extra supports on either side to increase seating. I don't think they did, but I think anything's possible as long as the money's there. But, you know, could they bump it up a little bit more in seating? Possibly. Could they take that berm out there and put permanent seating out there? Possibly. I wonder if their capacity is it 3,500 or 4,000 officially, but I know they put as many as 5 or 6.
Yeah, they can get over 5,000.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the two big points is the attendance. To me, I mean, you got to be impressed if their attendance is around 6,500. That's pretty salty. And then you know the whole concept of the you know how much it costs to go to school there compared to TCU. Yeah. But I will say this: it's not like we're hurting in getting players.
No.
I mean, we're in the top 10 almost every year. They do a great job. So it's not like – or how much better talent is he going to get at Mississippi State as he's got at TCU right now? Wow. I mean, if you're talking about somebody having to go from – we're not talking about you going from number 30th recruit, you know, recruiting class in the country to number top 10. And you're saying, well, it'd be easier to recruit and stuff like that. Well, crap, we're already in the top 10 pretty much every year, top of 10, 8. You know, so you're talking about you, can he get them to the top 5, you know, top 3? I don't know. I mean, at that stage of the game, is it really as relevant, you know, I mean, as far
as – how much difference is there between 3 and 8?
Yes, that's exactly what I was saying.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, a college student, and I mean, and, you know, I agree with to a point, if somebody's got a great program, then you're going to want to go play for them.
Sure. But
heck, right now, would you rather, let's say the programs were even, straight up even. record-wise, this, that. Would you rather go to Fort Worth at TCU, or would you rather go out the country? You're going to be isolated. Like, college student, I mean, when they go out there, they better want 100% college life, because that's what they're getting.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, that's it. There's not it's a totally different ballgame. I think they got 25,000. I forgot what it was. I forgot what I read. I was like, wow, it is out in the country.
You talking about the overall attendance of the school, or are you talking about attendance at the baseball games?
No, overall attendance of the school and stuff like that. The attendance of the baseball games is about 6,400.
Yep.
Right, which is only about 1,500 more than we have at our stadium. But, you know, given the size of the schools, given the entertainment competition that's in DFW, I mean, that's unbelievably impressive for TCU.
Yes, it is. I mean, well, I just know one thing. And you know what? And like you said, if somebody decides they want to start fresh and just get a new challenge, you know, that happens at times.
Sure.
And that might be what he wants to do. And if he does, then more fire to him. But, you know, he's got the keys to the kingdom. I mean, you know, I'd have a hard time believing he'd leave unless he just wants to just start over and just kind of see if he can do it somewhere else.
Well, he's got a great situation. He lives right across the street from Lupton Field.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to drive to work. He can walk to work or get in a hop in his golf cart and drive over there. And is that another Nutter Butter there, Dover?
No.
But I mean,
he's stashing them throughout the house.
I'm telling you what. When I stayed over there, I found Nutter Butter, empty Nutter Butter packages all over the place.
No, he did find the Nutter Butter package, but.
With the.
Hide them from a wife.
There you go.
First step is admitting you have a problem, Dover.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Dover, the 12 step program is waiting.
Yep.
Anyway, he's got a great situation. TCU loves him. I know when he first came here, I won't go into the family medical history and all that, but I know that there were some people that offered him a lot of help for some health problems his kids were having. I'm not going to, again, I probably said more than I should have, but, you know, they extended him a lot of courtesy and did some favors for him to help him out and help his kids get healed up from a situation they had. Nothing life-threatening and nothing dangerous, but, you know, just help you'd want to give any money as a friend or a neighbor. So, but you know, well,
there's a lot of advantages that he's had here, and
yeah, absolutely,
it's going back to whenever Coach Patterson is put on this coaching carousel every single season.
Sure,
and it's the exact same arguments we make against, you know, Patterson not leaving, but this is, you know, Patterson's name comes up every single year, and every single year there's always at least one or two schools that kind of have this big, you know, push, like, oh, we're in the running. And Patterson's always made himself known as the guy who never is going to turn down an opportunity to talk to another school, because he believes that's just A, common courtesy, and B, you never close down on all your options. But we always feel pretty secure about the fact that Patterson's not going to go anywhere. But this is the first time, I think, since Schloss has been here, that this is the first serious move against you know, hiring him away. So I think that's what's scaring a lot of people.
Correct.
You know what else? You know, wasn't he approached by UT in 2016 to come over?
Yeah. Now, if Del Conte was at UT at that point in time, I'd say there was probably a little bit more teeth behind that. But
yeah, I mean, I would have thought he would have gone in a heartbeat. I mean, it's UT. I mean, but I don't get the allure really of Mississippi State as much, you know, but. We don't know what his goals are.
If I were to go to a school in that state, it'd be University of Mississippi, not Mississippi State. But, you know, that's
– yeah. Ole Miss is definitely better the two choices.
And I don't know. I mean, you know, we change athletic directors. Maybe that's changed the dynamics a little bit.
Well, could be.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you don't ever know.
Let's say he did leave and Sarluis did not get the job. Who would you think would be a good replacement for
– The only thing I think that – the only way that Sarluis doesn't get this job is if Sarluis leaves.
Yeah,
that's before the job was over.
What, last year, and he didn't. So.
That was Stanford, right? He turned Stanford down,
right?
And I mean, if you're going to go for a head coaching job, there's another prime spot right there, Stanford. And he's from that area. He's actually from California, so
yep.
You would think that would be the way to go.
You think? I mean, I'm just, you know, making up stuff now, but I wonder if maybe Jim Schlossnagel said, hey, don't leave because the head coaching position may come up next year, you know, nudge, nudge. I don't know. I mean,
well, possibly. Yeah. I mean, I read them when the coach down at Rice said this is his last year. There were some people saying that, hey, look at Kirk Sarlos. He's ready to step up. And Rice has got a pretty good baseball history. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, Schloss may have said that. Who knows? But I think Sarlos is smart enough to know that if he would be the next guy up, hopefully, that if something happened, he's a good baseball man, he's got a good reputation, and he's a darn good recruiter. So that's where I'd go. If he didn't take it or he went somewhere else, I think I'd call the guy at Dallas Baptist if it were me.
Yeah.
So how long do you guys think this is going to drag out?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Schloss is going to drag it long.
I think it's terrible when they drag it out so long. I hope it's solved in the next week or two. Yeah. And I hope the TCU fans, anybody that's listening, we all keep our cool and handle this classy because we all get emotionally involved and people start tweeting stuff like,
okay, and no one pull a Roseanne on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm like, geez, people, let him see this through. Just because he's entertaining, it does not mean he's not loyal to TCU. My goodness, but
oh yeah, I read one guy that said, well, he just doesn't have the frog factor.
The frog factor.
Would you take a job at TCU? Are you obligated to work there the rest of your life? I don't think so. I mean, and would you not take another job if offered to you and it paid more or offered you better opportunity? Everybody would do that. So, you know, I mean, lighten up, let the guy make his decision, you know, and stay out of it. And just, you know, if he leaves, then thank him for what he did. And then let's go support the new guy.
Exactly.
Ryan, what are you doing to your poor cat?
We've been out of town since Thursday. Was it Thursday? No, we left Friday, got back this evening. And so she has been basically in, what do you call it, solitary confinement. No one's been talking to her for several days, and she's letting us know about it.
Letting you know she's not happy.
She's not happy at all. Hey, real quick, I do want to give a shout out really quickly to the freshmen that I did look them up. So TC led the Big 12 with four members of the all-freshman team. That's Bulware, Milbauer, Oviedo, and Sloan.
Okay.
Honored. That's huge.
I mean, that's pretty good.
That's really great.
And that's a good basis for next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. When Coach Schloss comes back to coach another year.
There you go.
Exactly. And when retire, and we give him his statue.
Not next year. He doesn't retire next year.
Right. He needs to wait a while, but he's too young. Well,
the thing is, I think if he's going to do it, he's thinking, I got to do it now. You know, because he's almost 50, or he's pretty close.
Yeah, he's right, 47, 48, something like that.
I mean, he's getting right there, if he's ever going to do another job, I mean, that last job, decide he wants to do it,
make it sound like that one foot in the grave, Deborah. Come on, 47, that's nothing.
I know, but hey, that coach is, you know, I'm telling you, you see a coach that coaches 60s to 70s. I mean, that's tough to do.
Yeah, I'm living that time frame right now. So, you know, it is tough. But anyway, yeah. I mean, well, I hope he stays, and I think my gut feeling is he will. But you know, I've been wrong before.
Hey, he's a great guy. He handles his business like he's supposed to. He handles the players like he's supposed to. You know, and stuff like that. And you know, so. And whatever happens is going to happen.
I tell you what I'll miss, and we get this with so many of our coaches. We're very lucky at TCU. It's just a standard that everybody holds true to. But there was a tweet out earlier, some lady, I don't know, I should maybe know who this is. I don't know if she's part of some coaching organization, but she took a picture of the dugout during the tournament and said, win or lose, this team basically handles everything with class. And she talked about how there was not one even candy wrapper laying in the dugout on the dugout floor because Schloss, they all, and now that I think about that, I do always see them walking all the way down to the end of the dugout to throw something away. And they apparently do that no matter where they are, no matter if they're winning or losing. And that those are the little things that make, you know, winning is huge, but sure. what these players learn while they're there and how to behave and just be good people. And all the sports that we really have at TCU, all the coaches are like that. And I hate to see that go. Not that Sarlis wouldn't keep that going, because I'm sure he would, but it's pretty special what we have with our coaching.
Well, every time we talk to a baseball player, you know, a previous Frog baseball player, whether it's, you know, Matt Carpenter or Holiday, or, you know, just when we were talking to Scout a couple weeks ago, they all say the same thing. You know, it is that character building that they get here at TCU that means so much after they leave. So,
correct.
Yeah. I'd hate to lose him if he goes, but I'm thinking he's coming back next year.
I think it's 50-50. We'll see.
We'll see.
Well, with that, I think we are now done with baseball season. Unfortunately, like I said, this is the long 90 some odd day until football kickoff, where we kind of have a dearth of TCU athletics to talk about. But, you know, overall, we do a couple of quick things. Tennis had a pretty good run of it. They got to the top 16 again in the NCAA. We had a couple of individuals go pretty far in the NCAA as well. And tracks had a couple of standouts. But I mean, overall, this season, this 2017-2018 season of Frog Athletics has been something else. It's been a lot of fun to watch.
Yep.
Yeah, it has been. It's been a good year.
It has.
And you know, no reason why it can't carry on the next year. Basketball looks great. Football is going to be good. Tennis will always be good. And baseball, knock on wood, when Schloss comes back, it'll be good next year.
I think basketball is going to be good. I think girls' basketball is improving. I mean, I think all the sports. Volleyball, she's kind of turning the corner. She's got a really good recruiting
class.
Real
good recruiting class. Yep.
Yep. I mean, so.
Swimming's got a new coach. We
that's what I said. I said, you get spoiled sometimes, but it's a pretty good time to be a Horned Frog.
It is a great time.
Yep.
It is. Well, last thing on our list, and we'll just kind of touch on this real quick, was going into football season, the NFL made I don't know if you want to call it a surprising ruling or whatnot, but it certainly is a controversial one, and it has to do with this kind of kneeling before or kneeling during the national anthem. They've now basically mandated that players must stand for the national anthem, or if they aren't going to do that, stay in the locker room. There's been a lot of talk about this starting to kind of filter down into the college ranks. Do you think colleges are going to start looking at this before the season, or do you think they're just going to kind of let this play out?
Well, they stay in they don't come out for the national anthem, do they, in college? I don't think they're out on the field for it.
Yeah, that's a good question.
They're not.
I've seen several games where you have teams out there for the national anthem.
Yeah.
It depends. I've seen it.
I know Gary doesn't bring them out. I know they run out afterwards. I do know that. I don't know about every college team, but
that's right. That's right. They do. So, I would hate to see that go over to college ranks. I really would. And I don't think it will, you know, because Ryan brought up a good question. I don't know if they bring them out for the national anthem. I don't think they do. Gary doesn't. And I don't know many teams that do.
You know what's interesting? That why is it just football? I mean, no other sport did that. Basketball, hockey, none of them.
I think you had a couple people in basketball at one point.
Really?
In
time. Yeah. But overall, really, it was just football. And I know we were talking about this earlier. This is a very touchy subject. I don't think it should be. I'm on one side. I think it's fine for them to have their podium and, you know, talk about the things that are meaningful to them and things that they want changed. I don't think it's the appropriate time during the national anthem when half of us don't even know the history of this own country and how we became a country that is fully free. And to disrespect our country and the men and women who died and kids who grew up without parents, I just don't think it's an appropriate time. Not saying what they're talking about I'm not saying they don't have a right to talk about or bring up any of those subjects. I think that's totally fine. I just don't think it should be during the national anthem.
No, I agree with that. These guys are public figures and athletes, and Heard somebody on the radio today say today that they can get the press or have a conference anytime they want. You snap your fingers, the press will show up there, and they could make their statement then. You don't need to do it in front of a national audience during the national anthem. I just think that's wrong and disrespectful, and I hope it ends. I hope it has ended.
And that's one of the neatest things about our country, and really any country, because all countries are patriotic, but we all unify under the flag. I mean, when anything bad happens to our country, patriotism is what brings us all together. And it just breaks my heart that all of a sudden our Pledge of Allegiance, our Star Spangled Banner has become political. Polarizing. It just makes me so sad that that happened. I think it's very unfortunate. I hope we get past it.
Yeah, me too. I'm with you.
Well said. Well said, boss well lady. Said.
And we'll leave it right there. Well, is there anything else anybody else wanted to bring up from tonight's episode?
Oh, I do want to say one more thing. So Mark Cohen tweeted this out, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's great, because football does this too. Every time football has a bad season, a losing season, what do? They come back and like pretty much almost go all the way. And so that happened. The last time TCU did not make a postseason, they came back and went to 4 World Series in a row. So
that's right.
Table is set for that. I think we should get ready.
Oh, we got the talent. I will say that. It's all sitting there.
Yeah, absolutely. This team showed us that, you know, they've got all the pieces to pull this together.
Well,
they just didn't have the maturity yet.
Yeah, you saw them at the end. The last, you know, three quarters, or I guess two thirds, whatever, that last part of the season, they really came on. They played well. They played hard. They fought. You can't be disappointed. They just had they had growing pains.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it just happened. You could see them turning the corner. They just didn't quite, you know, quite grow up quite quick enough to get two or three more wins to make it all happen.
Well, and I tell you what, one thing I wanted to point out too is Landa Story. Wow. I mean, he couldn't hit worth a darn, and then he worked his tail end off. We need to get him on a podcast and ask him what he did, because he was dedicated, worked his tail end off, and is one of the best hitters on the team this year. And if all the rest of the players, the young players, can talk with him and see what happened, I mean, they can all come back and make big strides like that, and we will be unstoppable.
You know, he's actually my favorite player on the team.
I love him.
After Evan Scow graduated, I think Landa Story is great. And I remember
smile.
He's got a terrific smile. And the first year he played, I'm thinking, oh my God, look at this guy. What is going on here? And I think I mentioned the Sloss. I said, he's got a little bit of a slow bat, doesn't he? Because like he was swinging the bat underwater. And Sloss said, well, he's a little bit of a work in progress, but he's working hard at it. Okay. But, you know, he did, and he was hit with authority. He hit a couple of home runs this year, if I'm not mistaken. Batted over 300. He's a terrific fielder. And so, I wish we had him back another year.
I do too.
Yep.
Come on. I do too.
Well, how many seniors did we get leave? Four? Three?
Three.
Three.
Or just three.
Thanks. Three?
Yeah.
Who was it? Landisol,
Wanahan,
and Balta.
Yeah, Balta's one and done. He's a graduate transfer. So,
and I know everybody, you know, the one and done, but I'm gonna just tell you right now, we wouldn't probably been in the position we were if he wouldn't have really came on. And,
oh, he's a terrific guy.
Did what he did, you know, and I love the story just because, you know, Schlossnagel said, hey, you know, you can come down. You're going to have to, you're going to have to earn your way into even playing. And, you know, you might play hard. You might do this. But, you know, it almost made it sound to me like don't expect too much, you know. And the kid turned it around, you know, and – had a great, great senior year, and really, I think he helped with those other two guys, helped really mature and grow some of them younger players.
Mm-hmm. No, that was a terrific pickup by TCU getting.
Didn't he just call Coach Slosh and say, because I think this story, for people who may not know, I mean, he was kind of like Baker. I mean, he had gotten injured almost every season. He's a great player, but he just never could make it into the, I guess, get drafted high enough. And he thought, you know what? I have 1 year of eligibility. I want to go play for a coach and a team. Unfortunately, that goes to the World Series every year. And unfortunately, this didn't happen for us this year. But, and coach, that's when Coach Law said, yeah, you can come on, but no guarantees. But he literally picked up the phone and asked to come to TC. And I love that. And he didn't start off really great, but, by the end of the year, wow.
Yeah. He was smoking it. Just a great, how many home runs did he have? 8 or 9 or? He didn't crack 10, but I think he had.
Yeah, I think it was right there. I mean, right. I think it was
an RBI count for him during the tournament was the highest of any player, I believe. Yeah. Period. So
he had 13 runs batted in. I think. Wow. You know, and let me tell you, he had, you know, 2 home runs in the championship game. I mean, he was something else. I mean,
very timely.
Unbelievable. But you know what, and of course we know it because we've been there, but you know, you look at the batting average of some of them young guys in the first year and what they ended up, and they didn't look great, but from where they started and where they were learning and to where they got, it took a long time for them to get their batting averages up. They're going to start off where they ended off, I mean, a lot more. So next year, I think we're going to have, it's going to look like we have a much better hitting team and stuff like that, especially with the younger guys.
Yeah, just to wrap up, Balta was had an average, batting average of .310, played all 56 games. He had 63 hits, 17 doubles, 7 home runs.
7 home runs, okay.
59 ribbies. And then, yeah, I mean, he outside of Baker, he was the absolute best hitter on this TCU team this year.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Schlossnagel kept saying, is just think how good we could have been if him and Baker would have been in the lineup together the whole year.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean.
But what it could have, should have, you know. Yep. I mean, that's you always say that.
Yeah.
Well, if you take a look at how this team started off and where it ended, I mean, the bats picked up at the end, and Balta was there the entire year. He was kind of the foundation, the rock, especially after Baker went out.
Yep.
So, yeah, it was a fantastic pickup.
Yeah.
Can't ask for anything more out of that guy. He did great. And I hope he did enough to have the scouts look at him and pick him up in the draft. I think that would be a great end to the story.
It would be.
Yep. Yeah, we're rooting for you. So.
Absolutely. Well, all right. With that, we are about an hour in, so we'll call this one. I want to thank everybody out there who's listening to us. We are available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at @killer_frogs, or you can go on Facebook or YouTube and just search for Killer Frogs. You'll find us there. You can also go to killerfrogs.com and sign up for a free account and discuss TCU athletics with the rest of us knuckleheads. And also make sure to go over to the Frogs Wire and check out the latest TCU news. Last but not least, since we are now at the end of baseball season, if any of you have some questions for us, you can go ahead and email us at podcast@killerfrogs.com, and we'd be more than happy to read your questions on air next week. And with that, we have come to the end of the podcast. It's time where we all get the frogs up and say,
go Frogs!
And the cat saying go Frogs too. That's so cute.
Yeah, there you go.
He's a frog fan too.